So tonight, wanted to come out and talk to you guys about sanctification. It's a process that we're all going to be exposed to at some point or another. And change is a difficult process sometimes. And it helps to look at it from several angles of the biblical perspective to understand how and why it does affect us. And that's solely what we're going to kind of play around tonight. And the opening verse that I have for you is Malachi 3:1-3. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger," he's talking about John the Baptist, "and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom she seek shall suddenly come to his temple." What he's talking about is Jesus is coming, and he's coming to flesh. But he said, "And the one you seek is coming to his temple." He's talking about the temple, right? "Even the messenger of the covenant, John, to whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. He shall sit as the refiner and the purifier of silver." And he's warning them that he's coming, but he's saying that they don't understand what he means. It's so hard for us to comprehend that God himself would sacrifice himself and come to a temple such as ours in the flesh, to be so low, to come and physically be here to show us the way. Right? And he's preaching about this prophecy. We got prophecies from day one. Tom and I was talking about prophecies 4,500 years with Moses prior to the birth of Christ, when it breaks down Genesis 3, the names of what they mean, and that it basically means blessed God shall come down and save the despairing man, that he will give them rest. But it's the birth names that mean that. Because back in the day, people's names meant something, right? In our day and age, I'm just Ben. What's that mean? He's another Ben. You know what I mean? But back then, everything they did meant something. Everything they did stood for something. He was trying to explain something, but he stated it this way. He said, "The Lord of hosts." Do you know who he's talking about when he said that? He's talking about, I'll give you a hint, he's talking about the executioner. And I don't want to throw you too far left field, but who is the executioner of the word?
Jesus.
Jesus, okay. More specifically, the Holy Spirit, right? Because in the beginning of Genesis, he spoke, right? He spoke that word, and then bam, it happened.
Yeah.
But it was the Holy Spirit that enacted the power, and the Lord of hosts is specifically speaking to the Holy Spirit, which is Parakletos, which is the one called alongside the help. Parakletos, we will get back to that. But talking about him right now, he's referring to the Holy Spirit in a time frame when people still was just with Abraham. Right? You're going to talk about this is pre-grace. You and I, we kind of think about our world as kind of rough, as kind of tough. We're in the dispensation of grace. But the reality is, we kind of been born and done whatever we wanted to do. And then turned around and was like, "Well, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right." Right? We tell ourselves that a lot. Many of us have, you know, small runs, large runs. Maybe some of us are on a real large run right now where we've connected to our faith and God's moving us somewhere. Right? But there's point in times where our life, you know, in the dispensation of grace, we just turn around, get on our knees and be like, "Oh my God, God, what'd I do again?" Right? "Let me come right to your throne." Remember? Because he who comes boldly to the throne through Christ.
Yeah.
Right? So I can go to Christ and I can get to the throne and I can get right in, but that's us now. Then, they're like, you know, God just might be fed up and strike you with lightning. It was a different time zone.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know. How many of us are familiar with the Old Testament? There's some tough stuff going on out there, right? It is some interesting stories.
Yeah.
I know I speak to a lot of people that have a hard time grasping all that information because we're not from then. Right? But I can have faith to understand that the knowledge in the Word is true because it's been true to me. Right? It's been affecting me. I don't go too far right field. But Malachi is talking about John the Baptist, talking about Jesus coming. And then John the Baptist comes in Matthew 3:7-12. And he says, he ignores the churches. He ignores the temples. He goes down to the river. And everybody thought he was crazy, you know, because he was dressed crazy. He's been starving. He's doing whatever. Because his purpose was merely to make sure that everyone knew that Christ was coming. His sole purpose in life, his priority in his life, was to make sure that we knew that we had a Savior. Amen? So he goes down to the river, and then a lot of people start talking about him, buzzing around through the town, so the Pharisees start coming down. And then he sees him. So Matthew 3:7 says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to the baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, you warned to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham for our father." For I say to you, from these stones God is able to raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork, his hand, he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire." So he's warning them, but he's also telling them to get with repentance, because Jesus is coming, amen? He's coming. But more importantly, he's not coming for him. He's coming for us. Amen, amen, right? This is a principle that we got to understand. But he says that he's coming with the Holy Spirit and fire. Why would he separate those two things, right? Because we have a taste of the Holy Spirit. We've seen what the Holy Spirit's done in the history. But up until that point, he's calling him the Lord of hosts. But what are we? What are we? We're the host. We're the body. We're the temple, right? So when you go in, you pray on your knees, and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become the temple for the Holy Spirit to come in. Amen, right? So it's the Lord of hosts. He's talking about the power, the very power that each and every single one of us have been received and has given us the ability to overcome addiction, frustration, unforgiveness, right? Fear. Right? Amen? Right? Yes or no? How many of us can testify to the fact that we grew in our faith and became stronger people?
Yeah.
Right? That's not me. Right? I didn't make this run of 10 years right now, or 7 and a half, or 8 or 9 or 10 or 12, whatever it is, by myself.
Yeah.
Because if we open up the 66,000 page discovery, we'll see that it was a lot of dead ends. Right? There was no good run there without Christ in my life.
Yeah.
Period. It wasn't successful. It's just clear. So what he's talking about is he's breaking this down. So the breakdown is, it's clear that a baptism of fire is needed to burn up the chaff, which is the wheat, which has been separated. And that's what I want to talk about for a minute. In order to understand what he's saying, we must first understand the process of wheat. And I know Mick probably knows as well. He's our farmer. His name is a beast. How old are you, Mick?
79.
Wow. Now he'll put a 15-hour day in and ask you what you want to do. Came over to my house and dug up my whole front yard and said, "What are we gonna do next?" Makes a beast. But we gotta understand the process of the wheat. So first we have the seed, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, chicken or the egg. I don't want to get stuck right there. We'll pause and you guys think that through. But for this case, we're going to start with the seed. And the seed and the water and the sun and the wind and the rain and the sprout, right? So now we got wheat and it's growing up. But wheat can't survive unless it has chaff. And what chaff is basically an exterior shield around it to make sure that its contents within can grow to maturity, right? So the rain comes, the time comes, the sun comes, the wind comes, Mick comes by. Everybody makes sure that it's safe, right? And it grows. But one day comes and the wheat can no longer mature. So what happens is it begins to scale and shed the chaff, right? It sheds it. And then once it sheds its chaff, it's pure wheat. And it grows to its final stage of maturity, which gives it an ability to promote and plant more wheat. All right? But he uses this reference because he's really not talking about wheat. He's talking about you. And the necessary times in your life, the things were necessary at that time. It was necessary to build the character within. But you grew to a point in your faith that those are no longer necessary for you. Be it uncomfortable. Amen. Yes or no? Because we don't like change. I want to go to my same house with my same job with my same thing with my same thing. Right? Because that's comfortable. But then I lose a friend. And then I lose a loved one. And then I lose a job. And then something else. You know? And but I see it as a negative thing. But it's that chaff. It's coming off because God's making you stronger. He's giving you the strength to become a mature person in your faith. So why? Now you can plant. Now you can grow. And the more you grow, the more you plant. So now we understand the process of wheat. We can move on to what he's trying to explain. So number two, John speaks of a mighty king, the baptizer, that he will purge his floor. He will burn the chaff, his winnowing fork. Meaning that alone a man stands before his maker. Romans 7, 14. Alone a man stands before his maker. We say it's not my job to judge you. Amen? Right? That's my job to encourage you. It's my job to love you. It's my job to be here no matter what you do and show that love of God that was there for me no matter what I did. Right? Because what if God would have said Ben only gets 99,206 chances and I wouldn't be here today? Because I know I burn all them up. Right? Right? I got 99,000 down. I guarantee that I'm 40. It's over with. But you think about that for a minute, and he's speaking to us, and he's talking about that chaff, but it's his winnowing fork in that when faith comes into your life and you grow in the maturity, the light bulb goes off. Why? Because you're the Lord of hosts. So the Holy Spirit comes in, you begin to grow, and he shines that light on that new thing. And that new thing in your life with the light bulb on is telling you, I got to let this go.
Amen.
Right? Amen? Or I got the courage to get through this. Right? And that's why he's Parakletos, because he's the one called alongside to help. We'll get back to that. So John 14, 16, 26, Acts 15, 9 and 9, all comprised together, says that I've kind of put it together. He said, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. But the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, for whom the Father will send in my name through the baptism, he shall teach you all things and he shall testify of me. So he's saying, and remember when we were reading about that when we pray, the Spirit prays with groanings too deep for men to understand? You know, and because we got to have this, we got to keep that perspective in that God is not Ben, right? God may be in Ben if Ben's lucky, but God is not Ben. So the question is, I can't change God. Malachi 3:7 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. But we like to conceptualize and say that I'm going to serve the God that allows me to do the discriminate things on the left that I like to do. Right? We like to make him that God that fits me perfect. So then when I get a little bit, maybe a retirement program, I'm comfortable, right? I know I'm going to heaven when I die. You know, just going to go to the club right now. You know, or whatever. You know what I mean? Just the little tiny things that we do where we don't really put God where he is. And he says, my ways are not your ways. So is higher the heavens above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. Right? And he's just saying that it's, sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend how amazing he truly is. So I don't want to bring him down. I want to pull me up. Amen, right? So thinking about that, he's saying that whom the Father will send in my name for the baptizing, he shall teach you all things, and he shall testify of me. Confirming the prophecy of John the Baptist about the coming of the Holy Ghost. Emphasize that he will be the comforter, the helper, the counselor, the teacher, the spirit of truth. And the way we break it down in the Greek word, parakletos, the one called alongside to help. And that feels a lot better. You know, thinking about that. You know, it feels a lot better knowing that God seeing me being insignificant. Marvin calls us ragamuffins, right? Because he's sweet. I don't say, let's not say what I call us, you know what I mean? You know, God liked to keep it as real and as edgy as possible. Because I don't care if anybody likes me. I'm here to tell you the truth. Amen. I'd rather somebody stand in front of me and tell me the truth, like it or not.
Yeah.
Amen. Because I'm not going to sell you another story. The reality is God is who He is. He is who He says He is, and we need Him.
Amen.
Right? So when the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, the one that's called alongside to help, encourages me to change, what do I need to do?
Change.
Or listen. But He's also the Comforter and the Helper. You know, consequently, why we're so filled with joy and the excitement of the Lord and our baptism and the first, you know, encounter with that, right? You ever go new to your faith or see people brand new to the faith and they're on fire, right?
Yeah.
They're on fire, right? They ain't afraid to go back and tell anybody, everybody, everything they ever been through, but it is what it is, right? Because the Lord's in my life and I can wake up at 6 o'clock and not cuss. You know what I mean? It's weird. You know, I got energy to work all day. It doesn't make sense. I'm on fire for the Lord. I remember originally when I first got out, nobody would hire me forever. Oh, that was the first one, not this one. So before that one, nobody would hire me forever. And then I was in the foundry. And I would work so long, they I would wake up, my hands would be shut. And I had to stay at mom's house again, you know, the 19th time. And she's like, why do you work so hard? I wake up and use my other hand to open my other hand. And I said, because Jesus said that you ain't working for nobody but Him. You know that you do all you do in His name. So when you go to work, you're working for Jesus. You're not working for Joe. Right? Joe's a jerk. You know, man? I don't know, man. Out of 85 different jobs, I've had 3 cool bosses. You know? But now that I am where I am, I understand why they're mad. It makes sense. But the reality is that Holy Spirit, man, when you're on fire, He will give you that strength to overcome whatever it is that's before you. Whether you wake up and your hands are stuck shut, you can't pay the bills at the end of the month, you don't know the answer. I'll tell you what, another thing God does is He puts you on a path and works on that other path. But sometimes we're stuck thinking about that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When we stay on that, we can't fix it, right? Because we're not God. But God, through time of us attaching ourselves to Him, has ability to reconcile all those things. Amen, right?
Amen.
I can tell you relationships that were permanently destroyed. Permanently destroyed. That I meet and see people, you know, weekly, monthly. Amen. You would have thought never, ever there's another chance to heal them. Yeah, but God can. Right? I can. I have to understand that my focus is on God. God's focus is on me, stronger than I am. I got the Holy Spirit going with me. So with that joy and excitement, I can continue to be strong. So we break the verses down. 1 Thessalonians says, quench not the Spirit. So if it's the Spirit that's in your life right now, it's the Spirit that's working on your life right now, don't stop Him.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, I was talking to Kenny earlier. He hadn't been out very long. He's doing very, very, very well. And then you run into your contacts, just like I did, and they look at you and they see something different about you.
Yeah.
Amen, right? Because they want that old dude. Really? I don't want you to succeed now. Because that means what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Haterism is a disease that's all the way across this world today. Amen? That's why I never turn that thing off. You know what I mean? It just tells me every single thing I'm never going to get. Right? I'm like, man, I ain't got a Bugatti. I don't know what I'm thinking. You know, it doesn't matter. Grass is always green on the other side. But the reality is people see something different in you. 1 Thessalonians says, despise not the prophecy. So we have a calling and a direction, but we have these different viewpoints of what He's saying. But Romans 12:6 comes in, He says, and since we have gifts, manifestations of the Spirit, which is what we kind of talked about a couple weeks ago. Remember the talents?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Right? Well, exercising God's gifts in us in action in order to make them grow. That's what we talked about for an hour, right? We couldn't remember when I got here earlier, but somebody did. But so that's what He's talking about. The manifestations of the Spirit in you. That each and every single one of you guys, us guys, those guys, everybody we're into, is blessed with a certain set of skills. Is blessed with a certain amount of authority to grow. Right? So He says, the manifestation of Spirit that differ according to the grace that has been given to each of us, let each one of us exercise them accordingly, that harmony and agreement ripen, now we're back to the wheat, ripen our faith by administering balance in our lives with God in first place at the center of everything we do. at the center of everything we do. So that is the greatest commandment. What did he say? Who wants to quote? He said, Jesus, you know, what's the greatest commandment? He wanted to sum it up. What did he say?
Love the Lord God with all your heart,
mind, soul, mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Put God first.
Yeah.
Amen. I got a challenge for you right now. If you go home and you sit down and you just take 10, 15 minutes quiet and just ask yourself, am I putting God first in my life right now? Amen, right? Because the first question I got to ask myself to get back on track is if God is first in my life. And that's what he's talking about. Because we put that balance. He said, ripen the faith within you by administering balance in yourselves with God in first place. Emotions, thoughts, motives, will. Learning to live our lives anew as a spiritual building, a being. Amen, right? That's not simple to do. That's not simple to do because I'm quick in the flesh. I'm telling you, right? I've talked a lot about road rage. It's a sickness, man. I'm bad, right? That's true. But I'm focused on it. So what am I doing? Marvin makes me little digital mixtapes. And you know what I noticed? The difference is if I got like C.S. Lewis or another pastor or somebody talking in my car, I'm driving and I'm just listening to the word. Somebody cuts me off. I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, it's all good. I'm driving. Listening to the word. What's he going to say next? Because I like guys that are going to challenge my thought. I want you to say something that I might not agree with and be like, oh, wait a minute. And go back in there and be like, oh, you know? Because I think, you know, there's treasures in this word that we don't realize. We feel like, man, I work all day. I pay my bills. Let me watch a little bit of TV. You know, I deserve that. But the reality is, we take 15 minutes, put this word in our lives, we're going to move forward. Amen, right?
Yeah.
So when that word's being shared and I'm driving, it really changed my personality. You know, everything else playing cut me off. We're working on it. That's what I'm saying. We're working on it. You can see the difference. But you know, so we're growing. We're moving on. We're growing. We got the chaff, right, in our lives. Some of us, we're in this process because it's a process. Some of us are a sprout getting the sun. Some of us right now got our full shield on. Some of us are breaking some of it off, right? Some of us are fully mature, planting. Amen, right?
Amen.
Where's my mentors at? Right? These guys are in here planting now, right? Amen? Their chaff fell off. I don't know why he leaves mine on, you know, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. But time goes by, but sometimes circumstances make us feel misunderstood. And that's reality. That even though you've done everything right, even though you're reading, even though you want to change, even though you're doing the next right thing, sometimes circumstances make us misunderstood. Things that we cherish begin to fall away. They disappear. The world seems quiet. Family, friends, narrow. Sometimes we feel different, indifferent, lonely. It changes. Why is this? And we go all the way back to Matthew 3:7. We say, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And fire. It's the other part of the deal. Right? I'm going to put in you the courage and the ability to move you forward according to my calling. And I'm going to watch over my word to make sure that I perform it in you so that you succeed. But when it's time for you to change, I'm going to call you closer to me.
Amen.
And that fire, what do we know about fire?
You're a fire.
It hurts. Right? If we had a fire going right here, it'd feel good from here. But how would it feel from here? You know what I'm saying? Right? If I'm standing in the fire, what's it do? Well, what's another thing fire does? What's a refiner fire? It purifies. They put the gold in the fire. They melt it down. They take it out. They put the gold in the fire. They melt it down. They take it out. I would have no patience for this. They do it over and over and over and over and over. And pretty soon, they can put a number on the gold as to its value. But if I take that lesson and I compare it to what God's doing in my life, that it's uncomfortable right now. Amen? Right? You guys know me personally. We've been talking about this months. It's been uncomfortable for me. But it's fire. It's the refiner's fire. Is that God said, I see something greater in you than what you're involved with right now. So I'm going to peel that chaff because it's not necessary because you will mature. Amen? Right? It's different. The refiner's fire cleanses. It sanctifies, it burns, it reduces, it purifies, and it hurts. But God removing the chaff is not sin. I mean, we talked about that. In fact, chaff is necessary and essential to obtain the mature wheat. So there's portions and times of our life that we could almost argue that I'm exactly who I was supposed to be. Because God calls for the good for those who love the Lord and are called for His name. Amen, right?
Amen.
There's no such thing as coincidences. Nope. We were all called here to worship Him tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Right? So all of these negatives in my life can now be washed away. Because my focus is on Him. Amen?
Amen.
And that feels good. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people I've met that will not let that past go. They won't let it go. But I'm telling you, God can forgive you and wipe it off and say, I don't remember it anymore. And He doesn't lie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if He has the ability to forgive you, how come you can't forgive yourself?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Purification. It's uncomfortable. We go to the field. It looks like grass. The grass grows, begins to ripen, the heads of wheat, and matures over time, ready to plant the seed again. But it needs to be a mature plant. But if you wait too long to remove the chaff, it destroys the wheat. Remove it too soon, no harvest. Usually several chaff fall before it produces an ear of grain. Just as several years of growth to ripen our faith and our personal gift and spiritual manifestation to the calling, fulfilling our own destiny. And that's such an amazing thing to think that in you, God has given you the gift and the ability to flourish and bloom the love of Him. Amen, right?
Amen.
And it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you got.
Right.
Amen. We are equal in the eyes of God. Alone a man stands behind, you know, before his master. So we cannot separate the chaff. God does. And that's when He's talking about Jesus' winnowing fork, that He will purge. He will His threshing floor. So big chances come. Sometimes they're painful. We can't fight it. We got to accept it. And we need to look at it in a way that maybe God's maturing you. Right? Instead of the next time something doesn't work out in our lives, instead of, you know, slamming the door and kicking the dog, right? Punching the boss. I don't know. I can tell you 800 different crazy things I've done when things didn't work out. But the reality is, if we just took a deep breath and looked at that and say, you know what? Maybe that isn't where I'm going today. Maybe God's opening another direction for me. And have the faith that, what's Proverbs 3, 5 and 6? And then what?
He will guide your path.
He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Amen, right? So that the idea is that I'm on God's path now. And if God's path doesn't include this career, or this girlfriend, or this job, or this moment, then I'm on God's path, and God has better things than me. Amen, right?
Amen.
Because I know what my path looked like. And on TV, it might have looked amazing for a minute, but then it became slightly thriller, and then horror. And then, you know, it changed, you know? You gotta think about being on God's path, because I know what that other path looks like. Amen, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to stand up here and tell you how to fall asleep and drop cigarettes out of my fingers in front of everybody at the house.
Yeah.
Right? Been down them roads.
Wow.
Right? But look where we are. When we get in God, it doesn't matter who we are or where we've been. He will put us in the place to make us most useful to us in Him.
Yes.
Too many Christians living on milk and not and choking on meat of the Word. And it's time for us to get together. Hebrews 5:12 says we need some real people today ready to preach. Ready to teach the whole Word of God, professing forward, more messages, more things, mature wheat, able to plant, and God will give that increase. And the Holy Spirit will light you on fire to share that Word. Amen.
Amen.
All right.